Thanks for joining us for the Connect Podcast. I'm Cole Phillips, the lead pastor of the Connection Church, and every week we're going to look into the Bible to find out how God's Word connects to our everyday lives. It's going to be life-changing. The Connect Podcast is produced every week for your growth and inspiration. You can find all the show notes at makingtheconnection.org. You can also find the podcast on your favorite podcasting service. Follow me on Twitter at Cole Phillips and on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find all the links in the show notes. Now, let's get into the study. I'm so glad you're joining me today, and I'm excited about getting into God's Word so we can get it into our lives, so we get it out of our lives into the world around us. This is going to be a great time together. I hope that you got a minute, that you can grab a Bible, maybe something to write with, take some notes, so that we're going to grow together, and we're going to also have a good time while we're doing it, really connecting God's Word to our own lives, what's happening around us. And I don't know about you. I know people have different opinions on this, but I personally think the Beatles were certainly one of the most influential bands to come across. They changed it. They changed music. They changed most of the music that we listen to today has been influenced by the Beatles in one way or another. And I was reading that when Paul McCartney was just a young boy, he actually auditioned for a place in the Liverpool Cathedral Choir. And he was rejected because the head of the choir thought he didn't have much of a voice. Okay, John Lennon also was raised by his Aunt Mimi. And so he would sit in his room playing guitar. And one day his Aunt Mimi looked at him and said, "John, it's all very well playing your guitar, but you'll never make a living out of it." And so when he made his first $1 million, he gave her a silver plaque with her words inscribed on the plaque. Now, he was just kind of a jerk like that. But, you know, and I also know that people, when the band auditioned for one record label, that they said that there was no market for their kind of music. People many times will miss the potential in, you know, particularly in their lives, that they were able to influence the culture for better or for worse. But sometimes we miss the potential in young believers, okay, in people. We don't see the kind of impact that they're able to make. We need to be sure that we are putting a tin on people's foreheads, and you'll be surprised as you pour into people how they can grow, how they can really become a force for God and a force for good. And today we're looking at one of those particular servants of God, disciples. His name was Apollos. And so we see him come on the scene here, and he is an example for us of what a mature disciple looks like. And so we're going to be looking at that, how we apply that to ourselves. How many young people in your family, in your church, in your community are leaders, influential leaders for our world? Are they future pastors? Are they future politicians? Are they future teachers? People who will make a difference with God's help. They can shape the community. They can shape the world for God in the future. And our job is to come alongside of them and to invest in their lives. So here in Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 23, we're going to read today this passage. We see these two effective ministers of the gospel, Paul and Apollos. So in verse 23, it says, "After spending some time in Antioch, Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and strengthening all the believers." And so we see Paul, he was starting his third missionary journey. And what he was going to do is go back to all the churches that he had started in Galatia and in Phrygia. And we see also as he does this, he's going by himself. It seems like no one was going with him this time. And this just highlights how faithful, how committed Paul was to what God had called him to do. Nothing was going to keep him from fulfilling the mission that God had for his life, not the being comfortable at home, not being around the people that he loves and that are his friends, not the danger that he would be facing as he goes into these pioneering areas, and not even having to travel alone. Nothing was going to stop him from doing what God had called him to do, to go back to these churches. And he wasn't going just to hang out, and he would do some of that, you know, as he and the disciples would have a great time together, but his purpose was to strengthen the disciples in the Lord. He hadn't seen them for a long time. He loved them. He wanted to see them. But that wasn't enough. There was a higher call, and that was that he wanted them to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And then we see Apollos. Now, Apollos was this new minister that was bursting on the scene. He was going to be very influential. In verse 24, it says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt." And Apollos, let's look at who he is. He was born in Alexandria, which was one of the great cultural cities of the world, one of the great educational centers of the ancient world. There were about 1 million Jews in Alexandria. So Apollos was immersed in Jewish culture, in Jewish religion, in the scripture. And we see that God always honors those people who sincerely are seeking after him. God made a way for this believer, or for other believers to cross his path who could give him direction. And we began to see his ministry and his impact. He was such a powerful preacher that there's this whole group, sort of like a fan club, that formed in his name. Like, "We are of Apollos," which caused problems in the church in Corinth, but Paul still loved him. Paul wanted to partner with him in ministry. And so we're going to see the marks here of a mature Christian. And the first one that we see is to be a mature Christian, then you need to be a student of the Bible, of the Word of God. It says, an eloquent speaker, but this word can mean educated or eloquent. So it probably means both, but Apollos, he knew the Bible well enough that he was able to teach it to others. And when you can teach something, you first have to know it. You've got to internalize it. And so Apollos, he had learned the Old Testament scripture by memory. He had spent hours meditating on it. He understood the promises of the coming Messiah. So when he heard the message of John the Baptist, which was the message of repentance, he was ready to receive the fulfillment of the promises of the scripture, and he was ready to tell other people. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." So yes, it is important that we know the Bible. That means spending time in the Bible. You know, you should, as a believer, you should never be bored. The word boredom should be erased from your vocabulary. Because if you ever have a moment where you think, "I don't know what to do next," well, get out your Bible, get into it, begin reading, because it's exciting. It's exciting, and God meets you there. And the problem is, this past year, Bible reading in our culture dropped dramatically, if it was even possible to go lower. But about 50% of adults reported opening the Bible at least 3 times a year, 3 times a year, every year from 2011 to 2021. Then in 2022, that number dropped to around 39% of people who said they open it 3 times a year. That means that in the middle of record inflation, threats of nuclear war in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, debates about the state of our country, there were about 26 million Americans who had previously opened the Bible who just stopped. You know, more than half of Americans say they wish that they read the Bible more, or read it at least, but younger people in specifically say they are drawn to Bible reading plans and Bible studies that look at whole chapters or complete stories. So check this out. Here's the stats. Here's the numbers. Of those 39% of Bible readers, 27% open up the Bible, read the print version of the Bible. 19% read the Bible in an app. 18% read online. 11% listen to the Bible on a podcast. Listen, I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you get the Bible into your life. You can listen to a podcast. I mean, I do this podcast every week, and we're getting into a chapter and breaking it down every week for your life. So if you do that, you set yourself apart from the small percentage. You're spending 30 minutes in the Word of God, and that should not be the only time. It should be other times as well that we develop a love. We don't just read it. We need it. We need it in our life, okay? So I want to encourage you to make that time to read the Bible. It is God's personal love letter to you, and it's totally true, and it's always relevant. It's always applicable. God always is going to speak to you. So open it, read it. And then we see also a mark of a mature disciple is someone who knows what it means to follow Jesus. Okay, in verse 25, it says, Apollos had been taught the way of the Lord. He knew that John the Baptist had said, there's the Lamb of God, which meant he was the Messiah that had been promised from the Old Testament. But Apollos still didn't know the complete story of Jesus' death and resurrection, or the Holy Spirit's coming into the lives of believers and his presence and his power. So he knew about repentance, and yet there was things that he still didn't know. So his message was about repentance, not really about what it means to be saved. But he was passionate about what he knew, and he was committed to what he knew and to sharing that. And so he was preparing that way for people. But someone had taught him, right? That's the way he knew. Either his parents or some godly teacher in his life who was faithful to teach. And so Apollos was receptive. This is a message for us as Christian parents and as teachers, and both for parents and for children. We've got to be passing along what we know, passing along our faith to others in our conversations, as we talk about the happenings and the events. How does that connect to the Word of God, and how should we respond to situations in ways that will apply to our lives, that will honor God in the way, not just how am I going to respond to this, but what would God have us do in this situation? And you pass that on. And so we pass on what we know. Don't just leave your kids out there to figure it out on their own. You tell them you show them how to brush their teeth. You show them, you know, how to eat properly and all the different things that you're showing them. Show them the Word of God and show them the correct way to follow after Jesus, okay? But then the third mark of a mature disciple is that you're passionate about your faith in Jesus. Over time, what happens is when you are first saved and you're first excited, or maybe you have some spiritual experience and you're fired up, but over time, we begin to let that fire and that passion die in our lives. We should never do that. So look at Apollos in verse 25. It goes on, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. Powerful. Enthusiasm, the word enthusiasm, entheos, means filled with the Spirit of God. That is passion. And so he was fervent. And that word fervent, it means to be boiling, glowing, burning, passionate. His spirit was on fire, filled with zeal and fervency for God. And he was burning with a fire to proclaim the good news of Jesus. In the Old Testament, you know, there's this fire within. And, you know, fire, we look at it as a good thing, which, you know, it's a passion, that passionate fire. But, you know, if you've ever had heartburn, you know, it can be painful. And it's like, if I keep silent, it's going to hurt. I've got to get this out. And so Romans 12, 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Okay. So this is a command that we stay fired up, that we stay passionate, and we get excited. We don't got to do this. We get to do this. We get to live for Jesus. We get to be a part of what he's doing in our world. And that should fire us up and get us motivated and get us moving. But then also, verse 25, a mature disciple teaches what they know. They pass on what they know. And it says, however, he only knew about John's baptism. So he had taught what he learned, but he was true to the word of God. He weighed what was being said. And I think about Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Listen, we don't need to add to the word of God. We don't need to reinterpret what God's word says. We just need to say what God's word says. There's power in that. And we don't need to apologize for the word of God and the truth of the word of God. Okay? So God's word is true, and we stay true to the scriptures as we teach it. And then he taught what the scriptures taught and all that they taught, and he didn't neglect the hard truths, the things that people might not want to hear. And so like in Acts 20:27, which we'll get to soon, he says, for I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God, the whole counsel of God's word. And a lot of times it's easy to kind of get caught up in sort of the things, the nice things, or the certain things that you're most interested in. But we need to understand the full counsel of the word of God, you know, from the beginning to the end, and talk about all of it. He didn't twist the scriptures. He didn't add to it or take away. Some of us, you know, we don't like certain parts of the Bible. And so we'll go through with a black highlighter and we'll just mark it out and say, well, I don't really agree with that. No, it doesn't matter if we agree or not, because God's word is true. So if there's a contradiction between what I think and what God's word says, then God's word doesn't need to adjust, but I need to adjust to the word of God. Titus 2:1, Paul says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And so many people today are twisting that doctrine, and they're trying to say things that the Bible doesn't say. And we've got to stay true to the word of God. So that's important as we seek after growing as a mature disciple of Jesus. Then also we see that a mature disciple is bold. There's a boldness. You're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed. You're not shying away. You're not timid. Verse 26, when Priscilla and Aquila, you may know those names, heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue. Okay, we'll just stop there, because he was speaking boldly. He was preaching boldly. And it's important that we have that, what I like to call Godfidence, right? That we're confident about the word of God. We're bold as we seek God, as we boldly approach the throne of grace, because we have access to God through the work of the finished work of Jesus. But also when we're facing, that doesn't mean to be a jerk for Jesus. It means to be confident, not to be threatened, not to apologize for speaking the truth, but being confident that you are speaking to people what God has said in your heart, okay? That's what we need to do, to be bold. But also, mature disciple is humble, okay? So there's that balance, right? Boldness and humbleness, they don't cancel each other out. You can speak boldly and confidently while not being prideful and arrogant. So they took him aside and they explained, this is Priscilla and Aquila, took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately, okay? So he was teachable. He was willing to learn. He knew he didn't know it all. And he was even able to be taught by Priscilla and Aquila, who were tent makers. I mean, they weren't the most educated, but they heard him preaching and they were impressed with what he was saying, but they also knew that he was missing parts of it. And so they saw that potential in him. They didn't condemn him for not saying everything exactly right. They said, hey, here's some things that would be very helpful for you to know. We're going to tell you the full story of the good news of Jesus and the gospel. And he had to be humble and receptive to receive it. So often when we're corrected, we get defensive. Who are you to tell me? Or we get embarrassed. There's no room for that. There's no room for that. We need to be open to correction and to direction by other believers. Okay? There wasn't a spirit of pride in him. He didn't think, I'm better than them. He was so well educated. He was so taught in the Old Testament scriptures. He was a very effective as a preacher and as a speaker, but he was willing to learn. And you can learn from anyone, okay? Everyone around you knows something that you don't know. And so you can learn from them if you ask the right questions and you listen. So he was willing to do that. And a strong disciple is looking, is wanting to be strengthened by God's people. And it doesn't matter what position you hold, you can still learn, you can still grow. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, he said, "But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So you can either puff yourself up and you're going to be brought down, or you can humble yourself and allow God to raise you up to that place that he has for you. And the way I like to say it is, you know, let the game come to you. Don't try to be something you're not so that you put yourself out there and you look foolish. Simply be humble, be faithful, be obedient, be bold. And God is going to bring the right people into your life, the right opportunities into your life, so that you can learn and you can grow and you can be effective in the way he's called you to be effective. And then also, a mature disciple is faithful to the call, is faithful to the call on your life. So God has a call for you, a specific call in your life, and a purpose. For we are created by Christ Jesus in advance to do these good works. He has these plans for you. You don't want to miss out on them. Verse 27 of Acts 18 says, Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. So he's encouraged. That's encouraging. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. And when he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who by God's grace had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments and public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. So he was called to share the gospel, share the message of Jesus, as we all are. Whether or not you're in quote-unquote full-time ministry, whether or not you're a pastor, we're all witnesses. He said, you will be my witnesses. And this goes for all of us, right? And as soon as he understood the full gospel, he was fired up. He wanted to go to Corinth. He wanted to share the gospel and the good news there. He believed that the Ephesian church was in good hands under the leadership of Priscilla and Aquila, and that he didn't need to stay there, that he could be more useful in other places. And so they encouraged him. They helped, they put their name behind him and said that, gave him a recommendation to go to the church in Corinth, and that would open a door for him to go and make sure that they were received. And so being faithful to the call, being willing, being ready, being obedient, and saying yes to the opportunities. You position yourself for those opportunities, and you know, what we say at the Connection Church is we say anything, everything, or nothing at all, right? And that means that whatever it is, so that if God is calling me to serve in an area, I'm going to be willing to serve in another area. I'm going to be willing to do whatever it takes. And even if it's nothing, but I'm sitting and I'm waiting, you know, that second string. Nobody wants to play second string, right? But what happens when you're called on in that moment? In fact, there was a man named David Ayers, and he was just sitting in the stands with his wife, enjoying a hockey game, and he saw the goalie go down. He was 42 years old. 15 years earlier, he had had a kidney transplant, and his dreams of playing professional hockey were over. The closest he had come to a professional ice was driving the Zamboni on a practice rink and serving as an on-call emergency goalkeeper in the extremely rare event that both goalies were injured during the game. And usually what that means, if you're basically that third string backup on-call emergency goalkeeper, it means you get a free ticket to the game and you get a dinner for yourself and for your wife. And after the first goalie went down, David left his seat to get half-dressed in his hockey gear, thinking, well, you know, there's no way the second guy's going down. His phone starts blowing up with text messages. Another collision happened, and the backup goalie was hurt. And so now it was David's turn to step into the spotlight. He said, I've been on this ice many times without fans, but add fans in the mix and it's a whole different game. But hey, it's once in a lifetime, so I'll take it. And things didn't start out well when the first two shots that he faced went right past him into the back of the net, but a teammate encouraged him. Just have fun. We don't care if you let 10 goals in. And David said that was the turning point. He stopped the next 8 shots and secured the win for the Hurricanes. And the coach said, he just gave us an incredible memory. David goes down in history as the oldest goalie in the National Hockey League in history to win his debut game. And David said, I'd love to see somebody else in the league get the same opportunity. So would every fan. He was available and he happened to suit up and step in on call. And that's the idea that we have as believers, that we prepare ourselves for God's call, for that opportunity. When God says, step up, I need you to give your best. Yes, it's fun, but you're prepared for this and God is going to use you in a powerful way. So think about Apollos. He had this fire to reach the world for Christ. And before this, he didn't even know the full message of the gospel. So it's not like you have to be a long educated, maturity doesn't have anything to do with the number of years that you've been a Christian. There are some Christians who have been a Christian for years, for their life, and they're still spiritual babies. They're still drinking the milk instead of eating the meat. And you can be a Christian for a short period of time, but you can so immerse yourself in serving and in growing and in learning and connecting with the Lord and connecting with others that you are mature beyond your years. So look at Apollos. He burned to help and to serve other believers. He built them up. He challenged them. He watered what Paul had planted. And so Romans 14, 19 says, so then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. We have too many people out there who are tearing each other down. They see it as their call, tear people down. We need to be about the opposite. We need to be about building people up, encouraging believers, encouraging the church, encouraging pastors and other leaders. And then he also had a fire burning in him to reach the lost, those who are far from God. He spoke in powerful, it says, he refuted the Jews with powerful arguments. And that means that he used the power of the word of God, spoke it with authority. Your power doesn't come from yourself. It comes from the power of God's Spirit at work in your life. And he explained to them, that means that he confronted those arguments. He got down to the details and he did it publicly. But he wasn't using human reasoning to argue and to make his points. He was using the word of God. And his purpose was to show, to prove that Jesus is the Savior. I heard a story about this businessman who went to a Billy Graham crusade. And at the crusade, he received Jesus as his Savior. And the next church he went, the next Sunday, he went to a church that sometimes he attended. After the service, he walked up to one of the elders at the church. And he said, I was at the Billy Graham crusade last week out at the ballpark. And I went forward and I received Jesus. And the elder said, well, I heard about that and I'm very happy. And the businessman said, well, how long have we worked together in business? And the elder, this Christian elder said, about 23 years, I think. And so the guy says, well, have you known Jesus this whole time? And the elder said, yes, I have. And this businessman said, well, I don't remember you ever talking to me about Jesus throughout all those years. In fact, I thought so highly of you that I thought, well, if anybody could be as good of a person as you and not be a Christian, then I didn't need to be a Christian either. So, people are watching you. People are watching your life. And yes, you may be a good person, or maybe you're saying, oh, I'm not that good of a person. People are watching your life. And we need to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. There's something different about you. And, we need to put words behind it. and to say, I belong to Jesus, and Jesus has saved me, and Jesus has made the difference in me, and I would love to tell you how Jesus can make a difference in your life, and even invite them to go to church with you. But we need to be about inviting and telling people about the difference in our life. Here are the characteristics of a mature disciple. A mature disciple is characterized by being a committed student of the Bible, following Jesus with understanding and passion, and teaching others what they know with boldness and humility while being faithful to the call. I'll say it again. A mature disciple is one who is a committed student of the Bible, following after Jesus with understanding and with passion, teaching others what they know with boldness and humility, and remaining faithful to the call. So, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Get into the Bible. Stay plugged into the church. Serve faithfully. And you're going to find yourself growing in maturity as you're actively exercising your faith, living out your faith, and you're pouring into other people, because you will begin to reproduce what you're becoming. Okay? So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you have a great rest of the week, and I look forward to seeing you really soon. Thank you for joining us for this week's Connect podcast. If you liked what you heard, then be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, rate. We want to spread this good word to everybody we can who needs to hear this message. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to you joining us next week for the Connect podcast.